Hello, well, thank you all for joining me this evening. And I know many of you have been listening to Bentinho for the last little bit, and you know, sometimes we can get full, you know, from listening to a lot of spiritual teachers all at once. And one of the things that's very important for us is that we don't allow all of these teachings just to be talk. What's very important is that we experience these directly. And so I thought we'd start off this evening with a meditation on the heart. I had a student recently email me. He said, "Craig, can you please offer a meditation on the heart?" He said, "So often in life, we get confused by the ups and downs and the coming and goings of life. So often we become confused by our mind pulling us this way or our mind pulling us a different way. And there's even great confusion around what the heart is." You know, I had a funny experience. I spoke about this a lot. I know about a month or 6 weeks ago, and my wife, she was looking for something on Craigslist, and she saw a picture of this little puppy. And her heart said, "Oh, we should get that puppy." And my heart said, "Okay." But that heart was more likely than not, the emotional heart. You know, the emotional heart is the thing that loves, you know, seeing pictures of puppies or seeing little babies. We're seeing things that light us up. Sometimes we'll hear a pop song on the radio, and our heart will get quite excited. We'll be dancing around the room. There'll be this sense of emotional movement. That's the spiritual heart. The spiritual heart is that which is true, that which is deep. And so I invite you all, become quiet in this moment. Take a couple deep and full belly breaths. Really bring your attention to the center of the chest. Begin to notice this quiet presence of innocence, this quiet presence of aliveness. You can simultaneously notice if there's any heaviness there. So if you notice anything heavy, I want you just to imagine just breathing a sense of spaciousness into the heavy as you breathe in. And as you breathe out, you may even imagine just letting go some of the heaviness, letting go some of the weight, letting go of whatever struggle it is. So as you're breathing, you're just noticing a sense of spaciousness, a sense of aliveness. And if you feel deeply into your heart, you may notice this very pristine innocence. Innocence which has been with you, which has been with us our entire lives. Even ask ourselves, what is this innocence? What is this essence that I am? So the only thing I'm inviting you to do is just to breathe, to feel, to experience. The more you feel, the more you breathe into your heart chakra, into this space of innocence. I invite you to notice that this gentle space of innocence, the innocence is alive, it's radiant, it's full, and it has a sense of beauty to it, an absolute beauty. Can you notice your beauty? Can you feel your beauty? Can you experience your beauty? What is this presence that I am? And so as we're breathing here, the job is to simply feel. We're breathing in, we're breathing out. We're descending into our beauty. Imagine just center, take a couple deep breaths, and step deeper into the heart, back toward the spine. What we begin to notice is this tremendous silence, a profound innocence. Deep within us, deep within us. And sometimes when we go inward, we notice some places which are resistant, which are in pain, which are struggling, which are even sleepy or tired. And I invite you, if any of that comes forward, can you embrace that with love? Can you embrace resistance with love? Can you embrace sadness with love? Can you allow this love that you are, this innocence that you are, to come forward out of this deep well of the heart? Gently begin to embrace any struggle, any heartache, any pain. And here the work is simple. You breathe in a sense of love. And as you exhale, you just let go. Deep, full belly breaths. Connecting with that which is deep, with that which is true within you. And so from this place of openness, we're simultaneously going deep, simultaneously letting go, emptying out. And we are awakening to that which is good, that which is true, that which is beautiful about us. If any discouraging thoughts come forward, I invite you just to let them go and to come to the direct experience of the heart. How does my truth feel? How is my truth experienced? What is this aliveness that I am? What is this mysterious presence that I am? And so we're breathing and letting go into this. Deeper and deeper into the heart. And so from this place of openness, of going deep, simultaneously letting go, I invite a third experience forward. I invite you to simultaneously open the crowd to a descent of grace from above. Call upon God this evening. Call her into your heart. Say, Lord, I welcome you. I welcome you here into my heart. I welcome you into my mind. I welcome you into this body. I welcome your brilliance. I welcome your grace. I welcome your healing energies. And so as we bring our attention to the crown chakra, you just gently imagine it opening, beginning to experience this descent of grace down into you, welcoming God into you, welcoming this light into you, welcoming God's brilliance to descend into you, to fill you, to bless you this evening. So we're breathing and receiving. Allowing God's grace to descend into us, to come into our heart, to fill it with bliss, and to allow this bliss to shine, to drop, to descend into our solar plexus, into our belly, to our pelvis, to our thighs and knees and shins and feet. We can even imagine this grace coming down through us and blessing us fully and descending all the way into the earth, blessing this very earth, this very home of ours, blessing our lives, blessing our friends and our families, blessing our enemies and those who we struggle with. Blessing everyone and everything. And so from this place of radical openness, I encourage you to ask your heart, what is my next step? What is my next step? Which direction shall I go? What truth wants to come forward? And so I invite you to listen to your heart, to allow your heart to speak to you. For your heart is the intelligence of God. Your heart is your highest nature. We spend our whole lives listening to our busy minds, We listen to this teacher and that teacher. Listen to our parents and friends and partners. We listen to negative news outlets and terrible stories about this and that. But in this moment, I invite you, what is your heart trying to tell you? What does your heart wish to share? What truth wants to reveal itself to you? What vision wants to come forward? What is it that we need to let go of so we can live our highest? And so I invite you to continue to open, to continue to relax, to continue to let go, and to continue to connect deeply with the heart. Let your truth speak to you this evening. What is true for you? What truth is buried deep within you that you have hidden from yourself, that you've buried, that you've repressed, that you've ignored or denied? What truth is here right now which wants to come forward? Will you let this truth speak? And will you put all of yourself behind your vision, behind your highest? We have plenty of opportunities in life, plenty of opportunities to live from our lowest. But the greatest act of devotion is for us to listen to that which is the highest within us. Can we listen to that which is true, that which is highest within us? What wants to come forward for you? And this evening, Regina, she shared her vision, her truth. So this is an ultimate act of devotion. It's for you to honor that which is within you. It's an ultimate act of love for you to listen to God's call, to honor it, to bring it forward into this world. God wants nothing more than for us to listen to her, for us to allow her grace to live through us, to move through us, to speak through us. And so oftentimes, when we imagine a vision, like Bentinho was speaking, we envision a school, perhaps a big group, a retreat center. We envision being a healer, doing this incredible work in the world. And of course, God is always sharing her highest with us, coming through that simple voice of our heart, this simple voice of our heart. And so can we listen? Can we listen to these radical dreams, these profound dreams? And yet simultaneously, can we listen to the million and one ways which God is speaking to us each day? Because if we're going to build a retreat center, we don't just say it and it happens. Now, that would be wonderful if that was the case. But oftentimes there's a million small steps. You know, 20-something years ago, my teacher, he had a vision for this retreat center. And so when I first met him, he just bought a house He had just moved to Durango, Colorado. And he get a piece of barren land on a hillside. And so the first job he had me doing was digging a hole. I sat out there for 8 hours. He gave me a post hole digger, and that was to dig a foundation for a new building. And I came back the rest of that week. I thought after 8 hours, the digging might be done. But 20-something years later, I was still digging holes. I built many buildings, planted thousands and thousands of trees. I had made gardens and a greenhouse and a solar electric facility to power the retreat center. It was tremendous work, and at one point, my teacher, he said, "Now, Craig, God has asked me to build a temple." And I said, "Okay, wonderful." I was very excited to build the temple. And we were standing in this little field, maybe about 20 acres on the side of a mountain. We were standing in one of the few areas where it was flat. And I said to my teacher, "Oh, this looks like a great place right here to build the temple. The ground is soft. The ground is soft. It will be easy digging for the foundation. We can pull our trucks up right here to deliver all the materials." My teacher, he took me on a walk through the woods up the mountainside. We got to this. It was like a little bluff, a little ridge on the hillside there, up through the woods. And it was this very barren piece of land. It was all, it was pure rock, it was pure shale. And my teacher said, "This is where God wants it." And I said, "David, it would be much easier to dig it down low." And he said, "No. This is where God wants the temple." This is where God wants the temple. And I said, "Okay." Can everybody hear me? Yes, okay. Sorry about that. I think I turned the mic off and got a little bit confused there. Yes, my teacher, he still has his retreat center. My teacher, he's a really interesting individual. He only has about 12 students that live here in Durango. And then he taught in New York City for about 20 years and in Los Angeles for about 20 years. But since moving to Colorado, he doesn't advertise and he doesn't have a website. And he's an incredible master. But he doesn't teach in a public way. You kind of have to know someone to run into him. And he rarely leaves his home. So he does have a retreat center. It's open to the small number of students that he has. And, he meets with, how should I say this politely, with his students, it's a very strong commitment. We would meet every Wednesday and every Sunday, for 3 hours for class. And it was one of those things where he demanded, in a loving way, he demanded, a deep sincerity. So it wasn't a center that just anyone could go to. He just wanted to work with a small group of students, not like hundreds and hundreds of students, but just a small group of students who wanted to go very deeply with one individual. And so, people often ask me about my teacher. I kind of smile a little bit because he would actually get a little upset with me when I talk about him, because I would go on and on about how incredible he was, and he liked to remain anonymous for in our little community, in our little mountain town. And you know, that's kind of how he moves about in the world, almost like a hermit on a mountainside. But going back to the story of his vision, is he said he wanted this temple up on top of the mountain. And so for about 3 years, you know, I had to carry all the materials up by hand. And so I think at one point, you know, we carried up like 100 bags of concrete, you know, just, and we had to mix it by hand. And to dig the foundation, I actually couldn't even dig with a shovel. I had to rent a jackhammer and to dig the holes, because it was digging in pure rock. And so oftentimes we have this idea that listening to God, that following our heart, will be this simple thing. You know, many of us have read The Secret, and it's like, oh, it's just one miracle after the next, and you just follow your heart and everything works out. And yes, that is absolutely true. But what's often not spoken about is how difficult it is. If any of us look at the life of Christ, his life was not simple. He followed his heart. He followed God's way. And it wasn't simple. It was true. For those of us on the spiritual path, oftentimes we want everything just to be easy, to be simple. But sometimes God makes us work. And when we work, we develop, and then what we call this backbone. We develop a tremendous strength. We develop tremendous sincerity and an ability to listen. If you look at any great master in this world, they give their life to their work. They give their life to their vision. They give their life fully to it. You know, one of the things that Bentinho often speaks about, we have to be committed. We have to give all of ourselves. We have to be willing not to become confused. And so it's very easy to have a... Very easy. You know, we can have all kinds of emotional desires. You know, like I was telling that story before. You know, this puppy. Well, that's, you know, clearly an emotional desire. Now, something can be an emotional desire. True heart can't, you know, that's called being in alignment. But oftentimes what many of us have are emotional desires, and emotional desires come and they go. Come to you. It does not go. It does not leave you. It stays with you all of your life. You know, ever since I was a child, I knew clearly I was going to be a priest or a teacher of some sort, you know, working in the realm of spirituality. And I had many jobs and many desires along the way, many visions of what I wanted from my life. You know, when I was a teenage boy, beyond having the desire to be a priest, I think I also had the desire, probably like many teenage boys, to be in a rock and roll band. I think all of us, you know, have had that dream, you know, to be in a band, to be a singer, to be on the stage. I have a sister-in-law. She has a dream to be that, to be an actress. But to walk on the path, we have to be willing to look at what is a true desire and what's something I just want temporarily. What is it that I just want temporarily? If we're going to listen to our heart, if we are going to be a servant of God, if we are going to walk our highest, We must listen to the true voice within us. The true voice. And so as I stood up there on top of the mountain there, you know, looking out, you know, like my, with my teacher there, as I looked out at the great view, I felt this energy come into my body. And my teacher, he looked at me and he said, "Do you feel that?" And I said, "Yes, I do feel that." And he told me, "That's the energy of the temple." And I kind of brushed it off a little bit and, you know, thought, okay, this is going to be a lot of hard work. You know, I let go of what was actually my direct experience in that moment to go back and be in my mind. My mind wanted what was easy. It wanted what was easy. And again, you can't blame the ego for wanting life to be easy. There's nothing wrong with wanting life to be easy. And so the rest of the day, my emotional heart, I kind of was complaining. I was saying to myself, "My teacher's crazy. It's going to be a lot of work. It's going to take probably 4 or 5 times as much work to carry all the building materials up the woods, up to the top of the mountain there. It'd be much easier to build it down here in this flat field." And so it took us a couple years to build it. One day we were out there building it, and there was this big forest fire that came. Right across the valley, the fire was thousands and thousands of acres big. And I looked at my teacher and I said, "David, should we stop? Should we stop working?" And he said, "No. God wants a temple here, so we're going to build a temple here." And again, I looked at him like he was crazy. I said, I think we should leave, you know, the air was full of smoke. And he said, "No, we work on." And we worked until, you know, finally the fire went on for weeks and weeks. It may even went on for months. But at some point, the fire department evacuated us and said, "Hey, you know, all the homes here, you need to evacuate. And, you know, until the fire is out, until the wind blows a different direction and sends the fire in a different direction." And so, you know, we had a break for maybe 4 or 5 days. It's kind of hilarious now that I think about it. And we went back to work. And one day, you know, after, you know, we had the roof on the temple, my teacher said to me, he said, "Hey, Craig, come stand here, right in the center of the temple." And right away as I stood there, I felt this tremendous grace, this tremendous light coming down into me from above. I felt these arms, it almost felt like these two arms coming up from the earth and were pulling down on my legs. I felt this grace come up from below and this grace come down from above. I thought, "My God, what is this?" And my teacher said to me, he said, "God is to something new here." God had told him that there would be this light in the center of the temple, that it would be eternally pouring down into the temple. And here it was. The temple wasn't even finished. But here was a man who was willing to listen to his heart, to listen to God fully, despite how crazy it seemed to the mind, despite the fact of not having enough money, despite that it took 3 or 4 years to build. Here was someone who was willing to listen. And I spent many, many hours in that temple, probably thousands and thousands of hours inside that temple, being flooded with this grace, flooded with this light. I can say I traversed heaven world after heaven world in that temple. When we dedicate our lives to the divine, God will pour endless grace upon us, endless bliss, endless love. And I can say there was many other students that came through the temple. Now, there was about 13 or 14 of us who lived in Durango and who met at the temple regularly. But with my teacher, I was the one who was at his side. And as a result, I had so many more wonderful experiences, powerful experiences, because I was willing to give my life to the teacher and to the teachings. Many of the other students, you know, they would come and just show up for the satsang. They would just show up for the 3 hours. And of course, they would be tremendously filled with grace during those 3 hours. But then they would go back to their lives. And it's not that there's any judgment or any sense that I was better than them or anything like that. It's just a sense of where do we place our attention? Where do we place our attention? Are we willing to do like that old saying, put our money where our mouth is? But normally in the spiritual world, it's not necessarily your money that God's interested in. God is interested in your heart. Are you willing to spend your time and your attention in your heart? Or are you going to allow yourself to be led by a fleeting desire? And so Regina asked this wonderful question. What's the difference between a temporary desire or an emotional desire and a true desire? So if you feel into your heart, if you become very quiet, and you go deep into your heart, and just ask, what's true for me? What's true right now? How can I live my highest? What you'll find is your heart will speak to you. Oftentimes it comes in a very quiet, simple, yet powerful voice. That's the voice of your heart. That's a true desire. Sometimes I laugh and I ask myself, is this my desire or God's desire? Is there any difference? And the further we walk on the path, it becomes no difference. We're not arguing with God. We're not fighting with God. We're not arguing with our heart, fighting with our heart. A temporary desire, it often has an emotional pull to it. And so this requires a little bit of a discernment. An emotional desire, you can feel it. It'll come with like a clinginess, an attachment, or an excitement. You know what the Buddha called a craving or an aversion. Craving or an aversion. You know, I love to ride motorcycles. And if you take me into a motorcycle store, like a Triumph motorcycle store or a BMW motorcycle store, I bet my heart will look at all those brand new shiny motorcycles and think, oh, how wonderful it would be to have, you know, a new BMW GS1200 dual sport motorcycle. Now that's an emotional desire. But if I truly feel into my heart, what I find that's deeper than that emotional desire, and there's nothing wrong with that desire, nothing at all wrong with that desire. But if I truly feel into my heart, what I find is that oftentimes behind many emotional desires is a true desire. Deep within me is an explorer, is an adventurer. You know, hell, 6 hours ago, you know, I was standing on a 10,000-foot mountain. I spent the whole weekend in Telluride, Colorado, you know, climbing mountains and actually riding my motorcycle around. You know, hanging out with my wife and my child and camping. Now see, there's something true about that. It's true that I am an explorer, an adventurer. That's the voice I listen to. I love to be in nature and see the beauty of nature. Now, do I need a bright, brand new, shiny motorcycle for that? Absolutely not. Do I need a brand new pair of hiking boots for that? Absolutely not. Those are emotional desires. If you feel into them, they'll feel a little bit petty. And again, you know, no judgment about that. This petty sense that they won't feel deep, they won't come with that deep sense of power. A true desire comes with power. But oftentimes it's a silent power, which is radically different than emotion. And so for those of us on the spiritual path, it's very important that we're able to discern the feeling between a push-pull of an emotion or an excitement and something that comes with a power. I can tell you that this temple that my teacher and I built, it took tremendous work. I was not excited about it. When my friends were going on vacation or goofing around or watching TV, every Saturday and Sunday for three or four years, in the cold, rain, and snow, in the hot weather, in forest fires, I was out there building a temple. I knew it was a true vision. I knew it was going to be something wonderful. Despite what my mind was telling me, or my emotional mind was like, geez, I'm tired, I'm hungry. Gosh, it's so hot out. Boy, it's so cold. I don't really want to go right now. Those are the voices of our emotional desire. I just want to stay inside where it's warm. And I hate to say it, but most of the other students, they stayed inside when it was warm. But I got to work side by side with my teacher. And I would not trade that experience. I wouldn't trade that karma yoga for anything. I was showered with grace, showered with love, showered with peace, showered with silence through that willingness to do the hard work. And so oftentimes people ask me, well, Craig, does it always have to be hard work? Absolutely not. Sometimes God just gives us a grace. Now, I can remember a very funny story of a good friend of mine, my best friend at the time. He came to the class, and he had recently lost his job. And we all prayed for him to find a new job. And he said, oh, I don't need a job. I just need money. And I looked at him like, boy, that's quite an arrogant thing to say. But we all joked and we smiled and we laughed. We said, okay, we'll pray that Gabriel be gifted with money. And boy, sure enough, if it wasn't in 2 or 3 weeks, he had like a long lost uncle or something. I don't even think he was in contact with, but left him an inheritance of tens of thousands. Boy, did we laugh. And say, yes, of course, it can come easy. Of course it can come easy. It doesn't have to be all through blood, sweat, and tears. But for my path, I knew this was the truth. You know, many of you know the story, old Buddhist story. I think it's of Milarepa, you know, and his teacher. His teacher asked him to build a temple. He must have built it 3 or 4 times. The teacher didn't like it each time. And finally, his teacher said, yes, you did a good job. This is what I want. And so oftentimes we think everything will come to us just simple and easy. But this is an evolutionary world. And in an evolutionary world, there's so much to learn. There's so many aspects of us that can benefit from sweat and tears. Now last week I spoke so much about suffering. What is the purpose of suffering? The purpose of suffering is growth. So that we can grow into some greater. Grow into something more wonderful. Can it come about the easy way? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the lineage I come from, it's a Sri Aurobindo lineage. And if any of you are familiar with Sri Aurobindo and the mother, they brought about these teachings of evolutionary enlightenment. Now, Aurobindo used to talk that we could go the way of the collective consciousness. We can evolve at the rate of everyone else here on the planet. That's the way of drudgery. It's the way of suffering. It's the way of toil and heartache. But the mother said, we can walk the sunlit path. The more you listen to your heart, the easier and more efficient it will be in the short term. Excuse me. The easier it will be in the long term. Now, when we listen to our ego, oftentimes it's easier in the short term. But when we listen to our true heart, we wake up quicker and we have a full, deeper, more radiant life. A fuller, deeper, more radiant life. And the God work. I like to see progress. And so I spent 20 years by the side of my teacher. My teacher was a great fire, an incredible bonfire. And I wanted to either stand next to that fire or just jump right in. Many other students, they stand far back. Because they're afraid they're going to get burned. They're afraid it's going to require too much of them. A true non-dual awakening asks everything of us. And when you give everything, you get everything. If you give a little, you get a little. The question is how much do you want? your true desire can take you all the way. A true desire is God waking up to herself in the form of you and I. That's the truest desire. And out of that, everything will spring. Everything. And so people often think of giving everything as some tremendous surrender, tremendous work. But when you really surrender, what you discover is the more you surrender, the more you're energized. The more you surrender, the more God takes your life from you and does it for you. She provides everything. She takes care of your schedule. She takes care of your parents and your children. She takes care of your life. When you surrender, and truly let go, it's not work. It's grace. It's letting go into the most beautiful, loving, vibrant thing in the universe. It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. And so when we think about our lives, when we reflect upon our lives, we can ask ourselves, what is it that I truly want? Do I want something small? Do I want something shallow? Or do I want to experience the hugeness of divinity that I am? Do I want something shallow, or do I want to experience the hugeness of divinity that I am? That is our choice. If we have an argument in our head where we're busy being angry and arguing with someone who's not in the room, we're choosing to be small instead of letting it go and coming into this moment. When you come into this moment, you discover it's spacious, it's vibrant, it's vast, it's mysterious, it's unknown, it's radiant, it's beautiful. So the question I will leave you all with is, what is your highest? What is it that's beautiful? That wants to come through you, live through you, create through you, sing through you, dance through you, speak through you, be through you. What is it? What is it that is your highest? So I want to thank you all for sitting with me this evening. I know many of you were here listening to Bentinho and were inspired by him. And so I thank you. I feel deeply honored to be able to share in this grace with you all this evening. I feel all of your hearts today. I feel your love. I experience your beauty. And thank you all for this grace and this honor for sitting with me this evening. May peace and love be with you. And may you all live your highest. perhaps we'll just take a moment and gently bow our heads. Ask Lord, may all of us humans, may we all live our highest this day. May your grace shine through us. May your highest live through us. May we do your work. May your work and our work become one. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much. We humbly bow before you. Amen. Peace be with you all.